The Fuck Did I Just Read, the Tech Sales and Marketing Edition. This is going to be a blast.
This isn't just a podcast to have a conversation. This is a podcast to affect change.
It's kind of our outlet for therapy, to just let it rip. All right, welcome back to another episode of What the Fuck Did I Just Read? The Tech Sales and Marketing Edition. I'm your host, Danny Wolf.
And I am the willing cohort or co-host? I'm going to go with cohort. I think I'm going to go with cohorts.
Chris Roberts. We're co-hosts. Co-hosts, cohorts, friends, family, you know.
Exactly. All of the above.
Yes. All of the above. By the way, let's do a sound. Sound check sounds good. Not like last week.
Everyone? I got you awesome. On good sound, which is nice. Somebody asked, where are we streaming? I have no bloody clue. I know we're LinkedIn-y and YouTube-y.
YouTube and Twitter. Yeah. On my personal Twitter. Yeah.
Got it. That's good, because I'm off of Twitter.
Yeah. Well, how are you, Chris?
I'm a little beaten and bruised and bashed up and all that kind of good stuff. I managed to do this to myself, and you can't see most of it, thankfully.
Oh no.
I guess some of it leaked overnight. Yeah, some of it leaked overnight. 4 internal stitches, 7 external stitches, a whole bunch of other things. Yeah, gravity.
Well, feel better and stop banging yourself up.
I'm trying. I got yelled at by a friend of mine who's like, you told the doctors, told you, you have to take it easy. And 2 weeks later, you got stitches. I'm like, oh, no, I'm sorry. But I'm mountain biking, which is meant to be good for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, continue.
Hey, I got your helmet.
Continue taking care of you.
About it today. I got a Trek does a... I have one of their Wave Sail Form helmets. I got a nice helmet. I mean, it's deliberate, let's face it. And they have a crash replacement program. So if you basically break the helmet in the first year, they'll actually replace it for free.
Did you break your helmet in the first year?
They had to replace the helmet. I deformed. I mean, it's pretty badly smashed up on the outside. I took a bit of a tumble. And I deformed like the wave cell stuff that's on the inside of it. So they're like, yep, you're not wearing that again. And the emergency room was like, yeah, you will go buy yourself a new helmet. So they replaced it for free. So yay, shout out to Trek for actually taking care of people. It's actually part of what I'm going to be talking about. Not today, but the LinkedIn post later.
Awesome. I'll be on the lookout.
How are you? Is probably the more important question at the moment. Let's face it.
I'm not good. I don't want to.
I think we're all in that one.
Today's episode will probably be one of the hardest ones that I'm going to have to go through. So be patient. For those that maybe aren't as informed, I imagine all are informed of what's happening right now, the horrific and haunting events occurring in Israel right now. The mass murder and the attacks on innocent, Israeli civilians by Hamas terrorists. It's just a travesty. I mean, it's really deeply affected me. So, I can't manage to wrap my head around this. Like, how do I navigate my emotions? You know, I'm getting...
I think it's one of those things. I mean, again, coming out of the military and all the other stuff, I mean, you put on a uniform and there's always the possibility you will be called into an active engagement and, you know, you have the possibility to die. I mean, it's life. If you don't put on the uniform, don't expect to. And I think that to me is where I have such a problem with it. You know, unfortunately, conflict is conflict, and it absolutely sucks that there's conflict over there. It sucks that there's conflict everywhere else. But to me, it steps out of conflict into just unfathomable when you involve civilians. When you involve civilians in bombing campaigns and stuff like that, from an aviation and from a rocket standpoint, It is not forgivable, but it is more understood as to what happened. You know, rocket's a big fucking explosion. Unfortunately, you target one place, it takes out numerous others. But when it's on the ground and there's people on the ground and it happens, I mean, I ran into this, I dealt with this over in, I did some stuff over in what was former Yugoslavia and Bosnia and that neck of the woods, and it was village against village, and it was fucking sickening. Because it wasn't just people in uniform, it was people out of uniform. And I think that to me is like, if you got a uniform on and it happens, it happens. If you are a family, that to me is an entirely separate fucking conversation. And it just sucks.
Yeah. You know, I couldn't help but feeling a lot of guilt because I'm not physically there.
Yeah. And
I'm emotionally hurting. I'm mentally, I'm unable to process. How do you process what's, you know, circulating? I'm frightened for my people, my family. I'm frightened for myself. So, yeah. And I'm sure many of you are too. I mean, you can't underestimate this the gravity of this situation.
Yeah, this is unfortunate. And the problem is, as well, is Israel is going to do what Israel is going to do. It's going to come down like a fucking hammer.
Yeah.
Which against terrorism, I have zero problem. But against people who are innocent in this conflict, that's where it's just fuck. There is no easy answer on this one, no. Unfortunately.
No.
There is an easy answer. You take both of the opposing armies from a terrorist standpoint and from an enlisted standpoint, you put them in a fucking field and you go, you sort it out and leave everybody else the fuck out of it.
You know, the point today is not to get into that, and not, mm-hmm. you know, bashing you by any means, but I frankly don't think that would be the resolve.
No, unfortunately, it would.
I will happily sit down at the table with anybody who wants to talk about that, because yeah. We don't have enough time in the day to talk about that.
Well, I mean, this
unfortunately.
Is, and this is maybe the utopia. The utopia is that two opposing, I mean, you think about it. Okay, so this is where it gets interesting. I hadn't really thought about this until we talked about it. You go back 2,000 years. You go back 800 years. Armies met on the field of battle.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's where they met. They met on the field of battle. I mean, I remember all my fucking history. They met on a field of battle. They did not go house to house. They did not hide in civilians' houses. They did not launch mm-hmm. attacks in civilians' houses. They didn't involve, you know, I mean, they went to a field of battle and they beat the crap out of each other, and whoever won walked off the field of battle. I mean, and so maybe that's where that concept came from. We ran into it.
I think that you distinguishing that is very important, because it'll help people understand the difference of militant versus terrorist.
Yeah.
So just process that for a minute, people. Yeah. Militant versus terrorist. Today, we're not just going to address the marketing missteps, the sales outreach missteps. I want to dig into a deeper ethical issue that's shaken me this week, connected to what's going on over in Israel. And I think that has shaken some others in our community, in the security community. So just a little bit of a backstory on how, what happened and how this occurred, and why we're talking about this today. I woke up October 7th to the tragic news. I was unable to process. I was really unaware of what was happening and what was coming. You know, news is news, is biased. Didn't know how many, the countless people lost. And to me, I understood the gravity of the situation. I understood how serious it was. It seemed and felt different than prior operations in Israel. And prior rocket attacks and terrorist attacks. So I wanted to share my feelings on LinkedIn and some practical steps that I hope helped some people and still are helping some people deal with what was occurring. Still at the time unaware of the real, you know, depth and gravity and the intensity of the situation. You know, Saturday went by. It was probably one of the most sickening days of my life. I didn't sleep much Saturday night. Sunday, got up, you know, checked my phone, checked LinkedIn notifications, and I woke up to a tagged post on LinkedIn. Someone tagged me. I don't know who this person was, and they tagged me in a post that had, you know, a link dropped there, featured image, everything, featured image of, you know, a bombed Gaza. And I was like, okay, all right. Well, read the title, which said this attack is akin to 9/11. Israeli cyber leaders respond. And I'm like, my initial reaction was like, well, what the fuck is this? Like, why am I tagged? It didn't make sense. Like, why is this person tagging me in an audience first? And I clicked in, and to my surprise, the article was a curation, It was basically scraped LinkedIn posts from security pros, people, Israelis in our community, the security community, expressing their feelings around what was happening and their support for people who were victimized and for those who are having a hard time processing what's going on. And I told myself, okay, well, you know, maybe this guy wants to tell the world what's happening. And but then I was like, well, why didn't he run this by me? And like now he's posting about it right now. Things are still chaotic beyond belief. Things are unclear. Things are uncertain. Like now he's posting about this. So I was pissed. I mean, obviously dealing with a lot of emotion and fear. But I commented, I said, like, look, I'm for educating broader audiences on what's going on. But I would have liked it if you would have asked my consent to post my own feelings in a news article. And then I asked, well, can you just remove my quote? Because I felt deeply uncomfortable. My post and the post of others, in my eyes, was exploited by this news site or media. So I don't even know what they're called. I've worked with them in the past as a vendor. I didn't understand why they were posting it on that specific magazine. It had no connection or context whatsoever. By the way, I have to say it was the first article that they posted about the situation in Israel. Which it made no sense to me. There was no request for permission from anybody in that curated list. There was no indication that our vulnerabilities would be turned into a news item. So I told myself at the time, okay, Danny, like let the dust settle. You're upset. You know, don't get into it. Figure out your feelings. But the more time went by, I got more upset because nobody, like, they didn't talk to me. Nobody, there was silence. They didn't respond to me.
Yeah.
There was no response by this writer. There was no response by the outlet. And other people who expressed their desires to have their quotes removed were also ignored. I was like, what in the actual fuck? So I couldn't keep quiet. And I said, like, this is the what the fuck moment of the year. I want to break down the article, if you will. I want to go deep into the articles. We're about breaking it down. I'm not going to break it up because it makes no sense to me. I still don't understand what the point of the article was. You know, I will explain why later. What's that?
Clickbait.
Yeah, well, that's one of them. Which, by the way, their SVP who did reach out to me last night told me, no, this is not about traffic. This is about news. I call bullshit on it because there was no news in that article, no facts, nothing. It wasn't even updated to date, even though they managed to include some irrelevant data in there. So I want to break it down from title to content and the way things were handled. To give all of you context as to how I viewed this whole experience and the importance and the repercussions it has on people, on media, journalists, communicators in the world, but especially in our industries, because I know there are a lot of communicators on this podcast, in my network, in your network, you're a communicator. Let's begin. Okay, I'm going to start with a title because it's often the first thing that attracts attention for people. It sets the tone for the rest of the article. Title reads, the attack is akin to 9/11, Israeli cyber leaders respond. The phrase akin to 9/11, to me that immediately invoked strong emotion. I remember 9/11. I was little, but I remember it very deeply. It was traumatic. And at the same time, my thinking was at the same time the article was published, there were ongoing murders happening still. Terrorists still taking over cities. Hostages being killed and tortured in Gaza. All the while, horrific scenes being published on social media and circulated. So that pain was still fresh. And so to equate any event at the time to 11 without appropriate context, without sensitivity, without facts, is not in fucking good taste. So then we have Israeli cyber leaders respond. I'm like, okay, well, this looks like an important article. The cyber leaders are responding. What are they saying? Because I had questions like, what the hell's going on? How did this happen?
Yeah.
On the surface, it seems like a call to action from an official statement or some like high ranking officials coming in to maybe give us a little bit of connection to intelligence or cyber operations. But instead, when you read in, you're faced with raw, vulnerable posts from ordinary people who are directly impacted by these events right now. And so to me, the promise from the title and the delivery were insanely mismatched. And I felt like it felt very out of place. I felt very uncomfortable, first of all, to be like identified as a cyber leader responding. I'm sharing how I feel. It didn't feel like it was not a reaction. It was emotion. There's stark difference. The subtitle, when you click in, the subtitle has its own set of issues. Here's how Israeli security execs reacted to the attack by Palestinian militants. Breaking it down, reacted. We did not react. We poured our feelings. It's not a reaction. It's deep feeling. It's emotion. Breaking it down to attack by Palestinian militants. Let's address the terminology used there. Imprecise and misleading. The proper term is Hamas terrorists, my friends. So glossing over all of that dilutes the severity of the situation, in my opinion. And then the wonderful angle of the article. And when I talked to the SVP editorial at this media outlet, they wanted to give news. This is not news. The article capitalizes on my raw emotions, the raw emotions of other victims, without providing any necessary background or context as to what was really happening at the time. Instead of presenting the facts, there were no insights about the events, nothing. It just parades personal sentiment as news, showcasing sentiment. If you want to do that, why not just create an opinion article? Well, I know he told me, well, this is not an opinion site. I'm like, okay, so why did you post what you posted, you know? For me, I mean, it's disturbing to think that heartfelt LinkedIn posts meant to inform and to share personal anguish amongst close and also broad communities on LinkedIn, that's the purpose, can be repurposed in such a way. And maybe it's naive thinking, right? Danny, you're so nice. Well, no, I recognize that this is a reality. I recognize that people need to do their job. People need to, you know, distribute news. And I recognize that there's bias and there's misinformation and disinformation. But that article, rather than strengthening our narrative, dilutes it. Side note also, this is an assumption, and I've talked to my close, you know, counterparts and colleagues and tribe. I've become really good at recognizing a ChatGPT article when I come across it. So when parts of an article read like they've been fed through an AI generator, you have to question authenticity and intention behind it too. Next point, timing. Rushing to break the news, which is so prevalent in our industry. We talk about ambulance chasing, we talk about FUD, but when you break the news, when it deals with personal trauma, rushing that, this was my thinking when I said timing is everything, Mr. Writer, rushing that risks misrepresentation and it strips the story of context. It's not about when, it's also about how it's shared. That's when consent becomes so critical. And waiting for that approval strengthens the writer, strengthens the media site, and it strengthens the people, especially during these distressing times. Those stories are seen as then true to their essence and not morphed or transformed into some fucking sensational headline. That timing, it honors the depth, the severity, the significance, the sensitivity behind what's being shared. That was my thinking when I posted to this guy. I was like, consent and timing, dude. Where's your thinking? Authentic journalism. I'm not a journalist. I share stories. I hear stories. I'm empathetic. Authentic journalism and information sharing, it requires effort. This was grossly lazy. It requires fact-checking. And I told the dude last night, I was like, where's your research and fact-checking? But the most important thing here is that it requires empathy. There was absolutely no empathy here. And speaking of authenticity and empathy, everyone, shall we talk about the aftermath of the ordeal? Because there's insane importance of timely communication with people and ethics in journalism. I reached out to this writer seeking dialogue. Others reached out to this writer seeking dialogue and some answers. Silence.
Yeah, absolute silence and still silence. I've not heard anything. And he was on the post yesterday.
The lack of immediate response, the bypassing of consent, the misleading of the sensitive, the raw content. It serves as a lesson for those of you who are in journalism, who are those of you who are communicators or translators of communication to other people, right? Especially in our community, in the security community, we have to hold also publications accountable. This is why I couldn't stay silent with this particular experience. You know, some people might think, Danny, come on, you're overreacting. They're just trying to share your story. No. They owe it to their audience to provide accurate information, respectfully, timely information. And what's most concerning is that only after public pressure on LinkedIn, when I posted about this experience and said timing and consent is everything, did they reach out to me? They, when I say they, the boss reached out to me. I was like, well, why didn't the writer reach out to me? Well, no, I told him not to. Well, no. Why didn't he just say, well, I'm not going to be talking to you. One of my colleagues, my boss, will talk to you and we'll tell you what we're thinking. We'll give you our side of the story, our opinion. No, nothing. So it's important for me on this episode today to talk about, to make it absolutely clear that consent is everything. It's not just a word, it's trust. A shared post, a tweet, it's not an open invitation for exploitation. especially when it concerns such difficult, harrowing experiences. You have to seek permission. You have to understand context, and you have to respect the people behind that narrative. And I'm going to be very clear here. It's not about IP. It's not about intellectual property. It's about human. It's about human dignity. It's about vulnerability. It's about empathy. It's not an open invitation for widespread broadcast. Trust is everything in our industry. Yesterday I got some comments from people. Well, you know, it's perfectly legal to do that. I'm like, there's a difference between what's legal and what's ethical.
What's ethical and moral.
And moral. This is the latter.
Yeah.
Just because you can do it doesn't mean you should do it.
That's our industry as a whole, let's face it, sometimes.
There are so many ways to communicate, and there are so many ways to share things. But again, you know, it's your responsibility to maintain ethical standards, to moral standards, to respect personal boundaries, and to honor people and honor the wishes of people. So I wanted to take this episode to remind people again who are media professionals. We're media professionals. We to some extent take what we see and kind of break it down. I think we're pretty respectful. We don't ask for consent, but we anonymize. I was not anonymized. I was blatantly blasted there. The stories you share are, and the manner in which you share them, have real consequences. They can either inform, which we're trying to do. They can mislead, which Hamas is trying to do. They can heal, which a lot of us in Israel are trying to do. Or they can hurt, which is what happened to me, which a lot of media sites do. Maybe not intentionally, some very much intentionally. So I guess my question to you, Chris, is like, how do I navigate that? Did I do it right? Did I not do it right? How do others navigate that? Because I can imagine that you've dealt with this type of experience in the past where journalists and media have taken what you've posted and stripped away context, not asked for permission, posted it at times which were not appropriate. Talk me off the ledge here.
Oh, while you've been talking, I was actually looking to see if I could find that post. It's gone. It looks like they end up taking it down unless you can find it.
Nope.
Yeah, it's gone. And actually, ISM, the media company, basically ended up putting, I think 2 days ago, they put something in support. Very generic, very short post. I saw that one. But no, that individual has not reached out to anybody that I'm aware of. No, you and I talked very briefly offline on this one, and I am fortunate. I've had a couple of these where people have taken stuff out of context and reposted, but definitely not at this, not at this juncture or at this level, shall we say. In other words, not dealing with something that much of a conflict. I've had a couple where I've reported on various things and put some stuff together. And I'm like, what the hell? And I've gone after them in pretty much so the same way you have, which is I've called them out and gone, hey, no consent, no effing taken. Oh, it's still up on the website. All right, thanks, Ally. Yeah. Oh, it's elsewhere. Interesting.
Fuck. They put it on.
Did they drop it out
Bank.
To Newswire, PR Newswire? I wonder if they dropped on.
I don't know. I didn't do. Frankly, I was trying to deal with the.
I know. You did right. You called them on it. You called, and to me, what I've done in these situations is I've normally gone after the bosses. I've gone, you know, LinkedIn is a good tool for doing research on who owns and who manages the companies. And I've gone after them and gone, hey, what the hell, you know, where did this come from? There was no consent. There was, yes, I know it's out there. I know it's in the public domain. I know people can use it and have used it and abused stuff in the past. But there's this thing called moral and ethical requests where you're like, hey, I mean, I've had plenty of people have hit me up and said, hey, do you mind if I grab this? Do you mind if I use this? I saw your slide. I've got a copy of them. Do you mind? I'm like, have at it. I love the fact that people will get hold of me and say, hey, do you mind?
Yeah.
That I think is wonderful. But this whole just blindly taking it and, to be honest, twisting it as well for their own good. I mean, if you're going to repost something to spread the word, have at it. For me, though, add some context. I've always said this. I'm like, hey, I don't mind people reposting my stuff. I appreciate it. I'm honored by it. But do me a favor, add your own couple of sentences or couple of comments or stuff. Yeah, Kirsten, yeah, they moved it. So they took it off of LinkedIn and they've left it in other fucking places. A bunch of assholes. Oh, man.
Yeah, the context was the big thing. I'm like, promote our narrative. Like, okay, well, why? Like, I would have been happy to add more color. I told him last night. Well, no, that's your opinion. I was like, you took my my post is my opinion. Like, what are you talking about? It was totally like, oh.
Yeah.
But,
No, you did right. You did right. And you felt the same thing I think so many of us have also felt as well, which just absolutely sucks.
How do you, so I want to kind of shift the conversation just a little yeah. bit. As a security practitioner, I mean, I imagine you deal with, you consume a lot of content, you read a lot, you listen yeah. to pods, you listen to videos, you go through frameworks, you go through legal documents, you name it. But when it comes to media and learning and leveling up and figuring things out, how do you deal with misinformation and disinformation in the media?
So I've, for good or for bad, I've had that a number of times, and especially go back a number of years. There's only so much you can fight, and there's only so much that you can retort on. What I have typically done is I've put a second post out when I've been allowed. So there's been a couple of times I've not even been allowed to say anything. I've had to basically shut up and take the bruises. What I've always said is to anybody, I've always said this and said, hey, if you want to know the truth, if you want to know actually what happened, what occurred and how it occurred, I am happy to have a conversation on the record, off the record, sit over a cup of tea or a glass of whiskey and tell you exactly what happened from my perspective. What I've done online is I've done like a lessons learned. I'm like, hey, you know, we all post content. We've done this. This is the context of the stuff. When it gets taken out of context, you have two options. You can go out there and read it and make an assumption, or you can come back to the source and ask a question. I mean, it's one of the things that concerns the hell out of me, especially with a lot of us. You know, we start getting into this, you start getting into, as you said, the AI, the generative AI, the deep fake side of it. I mean, it wouldn't be too much for somebody to put a post out, you know, hey, Chris Roberts says this, hey, Danny Wolf says this, hey, you know, Ally says this, and then you have to hope. One, you can report it. I mean, there's always the ability to report it. Secondly, you get to the point where you have to put a post out and go, hey, look, if you want to know the truth, y'all know how to find me and get hold of me, and I'm happy to sit down and have a conversation. And that, I've had to learn to do that a number of times. And I think that's when you find out who that the true friendships are, those that will yeah. actually go, huh, that doesn't seem right. I'm going to go back to the source, versus the people that just don't ask another question. I mean, this is something we always say in this industry. All I ever want for people in this industry is to ask one more fucking question. So they see that post, they see it taken out of context, get hold of Danny and go, hey, Danny, what the hell happened here? And then you get to tell your story. You get to have a conversation about it. And I think that's the same thing. I've had to do it a few times, which is I've put stuff out there. It's gotten totally out of context, or the narrative has happened before I've been able to say what happened on my side. And then you're playing catch up, and it sucks. You just put a post down and go, hey, look, y'all want to know the truth. You know how to find me. I am happy to sit down and explain it.
Kirsten asks, and it's not a naive question at all. Like, is there anything we can do? I'm assuming there's not a parent company. Look, you know, I don't have any answers apart from just call out the bullshit. I've been really good at doing it here, but call out the bullshit. At
some point. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually just hit the same person you hit. I realized I'm actually connected to Telma as well, and I just sent him a message because the bank one you sent to me, I'm like, hey, shit's still not good. We're talking about it on the podcast. You are being talked about on the podcast, and this is still out there. What are you going to do about it?
You know, some of our listeners are finding information, which is really enlightening and important. And this is just an example of bigger flaws in systems and bigger flaws in the way people are doing things. And, you know, I something has to be done. And I'm focusing on this one because I'm impacted personally, but this is going to change the way I operate. But when I say that, I mean, I curate people's posts. That's what I do. I am a customer researcher. Yeah. I use social media as a means to find the way people behave, how they feel. And I repurpose it to marketers because it's important to learn how people operate as marketers and salespeople as well. I will not do that without consent of some from that person.
Yep.
I was asking something, well, what about user-generated content, blah, 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 blah. You need consent, period. So yeah, it's going to change the way I operate and how I share my insights and do I sell it? Do I not, like, you know, that those are like real questions. Do I sell my insights? I want to sell insights. Yeah, I would need to monetize. But you have to be careful in how you do it. And so these comments are helpful, one, because I don't want to be legally unethical. I don't want to be immoral and you know, overall, I don't want to upset people.
I think it's, you know, because I'll look at stuff. And again, same thing with the pitches. I'm getting very, I've always been careful. I'm getting careful about what pitches I use. And if it's an open source pitch or if it's somebody else's, or there've been a number of times I've found some amazing ones, shot a message to the photographer and said, hey, do you mind? And they're like, hey, it's out there, have at it. And I'll credit where I see credit on that kind of stuff and anything else like that. It's, can I go back and look at my stuff and validate and just like, can I go look in the mirror and go, hey, I feel good. And I feel okay about what I've posted because it's from the heart, not from somebody else's. Now, that implies that everybody that's doing this is ethical and moral and compasses aligned, all that shit, which, let's face it, unfortunately, not everybody is. So I think it's also, for me, it's also the audience, the people that respond on the posts, the people that see them, the interactions I have, to me, I owe it to those people to put out content that is mine. And if it's not mine, I need to make it very, very clear that it's like, hey, I've, you know, I saw this out here and here's my thoughts on it or something like that. I mean, at some point I'm probably going to do a post on this whole bloody shit show and I'll name the people because, well, that's me and I'm big enough and ugly enough and I got no fucking problems taking lumps every now and again. But it's one of those where, you know, can you stand up in front of your peers and be judged? And I think if you can, then I think you're okay. But if you have any shadow of a doubt as to whether what you are doing or whether your peers will look at you and go, what the hell do you think you're doing? I think at that point in time, you need to take a step back and go, hey, what am I missing? What do I, you know, why? And that to me is a big one.
Yeah, 100%. I want to open up... I don't think I see the chat, but I do want to open up the floor for anybody who wants to come on and ask questions about anything.
Yeah.
I think now more than ever, it's, I think a lot of people need clarity. Like, I'm not saying let's talk about what's going on abroad, but if you do have questions, happy to talk about it. Happy to take it offline as well, by the way.
Yeah, I'm looking through the questions, and I think Lauren had a good point, which is there's a big difference between legal and ethical. Leans are too often crossed. I 100% agree. I mean, let's face it, in our own industry, we see that as well. Way too many. And what's interesting is you see a lot of the CISOs and are being held accountable for that stuff. You know, what's legal, what's ethical, and what's moral? Different conversation. And there have been a number of leaders in our own industry that have been held legally liable for things that were morally questionable, shall we say.
Mm-hmm. All right. Looks like Maria wants to order on it, and I will do whatever Maria says. So let's see.
Unfortunately, a lot of the news do the same thing with politics. Yeah, absolutely. I think Elliot's right on that one as well. But I think, you know, it's interesting. You kind of, again, same like our industry. I mean, you have some people who will go out there and will dig. I mean, you know, Danny, you said it, journalistic integrity. Mm-hmm. And this is, I mean, actually, here's a perfect example. Okay, so there was a fantastic one. The gymnast. Michelle Bealey's, somebody's gonna have to correct me on my announcement. She's kicking ass again. She's back in competition. She's kicking ass again. I think it was like
Simone.
Thank you. Yeah, Simone Bealey's. She's just kicking ass at the championships again, winning golds and all that kind of good stuff. I think it was the Wall Street Journal. Somebody have to correct me on this one. Just posted an article about her with the wrong picture. Wasn't even a picture of her. I'm like, thank you, Simone Bealey's. Thank you. I'm like, where's the checks and balances? And this is, I think, where I have a problem. You know, again, we've been saying this to our own industry for years. Ask another question, validate, then trust. Don't trust and validate anymore. That shit, that model's broken. Trust and validate, broken model, end of conversation. You validate, then you contemplate the idea of trusting. After asking another question or two, we're not doing that. We are trying to teach our own damn population and public and the people we're trying to protect to do that. And even inside our own industry, we're seeing problems with it, let alone the rest of the damn freaking world. And so now we have another incident of this where somebody's just gone ahead and done what they've wanted to do without doing any checks and balances, without validating, and then without, yeah. So thanks for everybody who just told me, Simone. Yeah.
Lots of bad journalism.
Squirrel moment for a second. There was a video of her doing that crazy multiple spinny, twisty, turny thing for the first person that's ever done. I'm like, I watched that and I'm like, oh my giddy aunt.
Very, very talented athlete.
Oh, crazy, crazy. And not only talented, but what I loved about her as well is she took a step back for what, 2 years?
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, hey, I need a break. I'm like, so much freaking respect. And then it's come back and it's kicking ass again. I mean, that's serious, serious fucking dedication and craziness. So anyway, there we go. Wall Street Journal. Thank you. Yep.
The question is, did they change the image? And do I need an Olympic medal in order to get my requests approved?
Oh my gosh. No, we need a small tactical nuclear weapon in New Jersey to go in. I haven't seen her floor routine yet. I didn't see that one. It was the horse.
So I recognize we have 45 minutes, and I do need to drop a little early today because my child has school to go to and I'm running late. But a few things actually. I want to take a moment to extend my heartfelt thoughts and prayers to the families grieving loss of their loved ones. I pray for the swift and safe return of all the men, women, children, elderly who have tragically been abducted by Hamas. All their families, all the families, all Israeli people, my people, remain in my thoughts, my hopes, and my prayers. I hope all of you are praying as well. Every citizen of Israel has the right to live in peace and safety. And as we sign off today, I do earnestly pray for their protection from the rockets, from the terrorist infiltrating, from, you know, ground defenses. I pray for the safety of the soldiers, 300K plus soldiers sent to reserves. I have also a request for all of you. You all have a massive impact in what's going on right now. Speak up against terror. Do not be silent. Choose life. Stand up against all forms of terror, whether you see it online, physically, whatever, digitally. Silence is deafening now more than ever. And as we learned today, challenge misinformation, challenge unethical journalism, challenge bad journalism. Be discerning. Misinformation, bad journalism, it's rampant. Challenge it, correct it. Support each other. If any of you need to talk, I'm here. I need to talk sometimes. Oh gosh, I feel bad that my text message is blowing up people in my text messages, but we all have to unite, and we have to unite with Israel. We have to offer empathy and support all the victims and the Israelis suffering right now. Stay safe. That's the last thing. Stay safe. Remain vigilant. This is broader than we think.
Mm-hmm.
I love all of you. I love Israel. Am Yisrael Chai. Chris, anything you want to sign off with?
I think I'll just add to that. I mean, it's that I got family over there and I got friends over there. And it's the same thing. As I said at the beginning, my concerns for any of this is anybody that's on the civilian side. And at this point, it's irrespective of any border, it's any conflict. And I've seen it too often in all conflicts. I don't care what side of the border you're on. I don't care what side of you're out there. You're a regular human being, be it in a farm, be it in a shop. But anybody that takes advantage of that situation is just, I have no time for it. And to me, the tragedy on this one is any of the civilians that are impacted on this one. And that just absolutely, I have, having witnessed that firsthand on a number of occasions, I have no time for that. And that just absolutely sucks. You know, you sign up for this, whether you sign up as a militant, as a terrorist, as somebody in uniform, you've signed up. You have accepted your potential fate. End of conversation. You put a weapon in your hand, you've accepted that fate. But for everybody else, leave them the fuck out of it.
Yeah, 100%. Chris, I appreciate you as always.
Same thing. You try to find a little bit of peace, even if it means cuddling the little one.
Yeah, it's been helpful. The dogs have been helpful. They feel it. They feel it. They're super cuddly lately. So that's super helpful. Yeah,
they definitely feel it. I got Milo is literally curled up under my desk at the moment. He's going to be slightly upset in a second because I have to go into the office for a little bit. But yeah, no, dogs are great. They've grounded me enough times. So you take care. And I think we're all reaching out to everybody we know over in that neck of the woods to go, hey,
do
what you need? How can we help?
I'm going to drop some links for donations. There are a lot of troops that need vests, that need night vision goggles, that need just supplies, toiletries, underwear, bras. There are families that need food. So I'll be dropping some links after later today in this post on LinkedIn. Please try and support people over there if you can. Anything, $5 is a meal for someone. So I appreciate you. I appreciate our community and our tribe here at What the Fuck and Audience First. Thank you all. Stay safe. Stay vigilant. This has been another episode of Audience First. My God, we got to get. Well, what the fuck did I just read? Powered by Audience First.
There we go.
This has been another episode. We are